it's time for My Girlfriend Begrudgingly Reads Dune. And I want to say up top, you guys, this might be the sound a little weird or whatever, because we have so many fans going on in this room. It's starting to cool down a little bit, but you know, it's hot sometimes.
We've really perfected this like vortex of moving air.
Yeah, no, up here in the bedroom, you know, it's 90 degrees outside, but inside it's, I don't know, feels breezy.
It's like 89.9 degrees, but with a nice breeze.
Yeah, with a nice breeze. So that's what's going on. We read chapter 27 of Dune.
Wow, really?
Yeah. And I had an interesting conversation, well, you know, just a quick exchange on Twitter with a dude who has translated Dune into Arabic. He mentioned online today, just happened to mention how tough chapter 27 was for him to translate, kind of because it's just, it was, he was like, it's not necessarily harder or anything, it's just frustrating. I think it was a bit more of like a plodding work style, for because he's talked about, like, you know, there's stuff in this chapter where it begins with Paul, you know, he's trying to land the old ornithopter, and we're talking about like the cupping of the wings and the aspect ratio of the wings decreasing and all this stuff.
There's also a bunch of made up words, I think.
I don't remember a lot of made up words. I remember, I mean, unless you mean like pea sand versus pebble stones versus.
No.
I feel like that's all just, I feel like that's just Frank Herbert opening up like a gravel catalog and being like, what grades do I want? And that's, you know.
Well, I can relate to
like
that.
Like a bunch of industry terms.
No, I think, no, there were made up words. I don't remember what they were, but I'm telling you.
Anyways, it's just interesting. Guy's name was, let's see. I don't know his, it was his, the black part of it is in Arabic, and then his at is at Arabic Salama. Arabic Salama. And he was talking about, he was just shout, he was saying that, like, you know, he's got, you know, a reader, I like this, this is cool. He says, this is, Muhammad Salama says, yeah, a reader can skim the text, skipping words, describing in detail Paul's piloting technique, the wings aspect ratio, etc., but translators can't. They have to visualize the action and produce a smooth and honest text. I thought, like, yeah, I could see how, like, going word for word, you know, the, like he says, the reader, we're just going over all of this sweeps and swoops and dusting over the tops of the dunes and stuff. Like, we can, we, but to, like, actually make that, put those same word pictures into the Arabic reader's head is going to be, like, it's going to be more challenging to like, transliterate that, I guess. I thought that was interesting.
No, that makes sense. Well, so that's the first thing that happens, is in the chapter after the Baron is like, oh, they're definitely dead. I don't even need to see bodies.
No, no way.
We then come upon Paul and Jessica steering into a storm and successfully landing the ornithopter.
They're like,
really, Paul?
Yeah, Paul's like, boop, a boop, a boop, a boop. But I think that this was in certain ways kind of a bit of a transformational chapter for Jessica's character as well. Or just a kind of, maybe a, I don't know, kind of a realignment of the, in my opinion, of like the stuff you were talking about, your frustrations with Jessica.
Yeah, she gains a little more ground, I would say. But yeah, so they land the ornithopter, and then they're like, we have to find Fremen, essentially, I think.
Yeah.
Because they're going to take us in and protect us, we hope.
Yeah, we're way out in the deep desert.
Yeah.
We don't, honestly, it's like we can't really tell where they are right now. I mean, they've been riding in the middle of a dust storm.
Right.
And there's no GPS, you know? The guild won't allow that kind of those kind of satellites up there.
Right?
Why? Because the Fremen are bribing them, we think. You know?
Wasn't there a thing about Duncan Idaho in the beginning, too? He's dead or something?
Yes, I think Paul was, he was, he was kind of, he had a, he was, I think he was remembering back to a prescient dream or vision he had had way back on Caladan. He was like, I was in Caladan, but I had this vision that I was in the desert. Except in that vision, Duncan Idaho was standing here beside me, and he's dead now. You know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's, there's that kind of thing going on. And
so they basically start trekking across the desert. Mm-hmm. And they are, you know, trying to be careful so as not to get detected by sandworms.
Yeah.
And they have to drink their brackish pee water, mm-hmm. which Jessica thinks is really gross. And also reminds me of that episode of Hoarders we just watched. Oh,
yeah, you're... you.
So, I was traumatized by that.
Now, can I give the listeners a little bit of an insight to your mental state right now?
Sure. We'll see if we have to edit any of it out.
I won't go into specifics, but you've had, you know, there have been some trying things professionally.
There have been some things in the day.
Yeah, and so you've got that going on, and also, like, I was playing Dungeons & Dragons downstairs in the basement, mm-hmm. and then I came up.
And I want to clarify for the listener that whenever you're playing Dungeons & Dragons in the basement, I, like, specifically try to think of things to watch that you would not care about watching.
Yes.
So sometimes I end up watching kind of ridiculous things.
Right. So I come up out of the basement having just, you know, done real good. You know, I had ridden a dragon for a little bit. We had defeated the big bad and we had done
all
these things.
I want to say something. Yeah. I also just want people to know that I wasn't just watching TV while you were doing that. I also picked our first two tomatoes from our garden.
Which were, you gave me one, it was delicious.
Deep fried some squash blossoms.
Oh, those were so good. I'd never had that before.
Made rhubarb simple syrup.
Mm-hmm. I had enjoyed some of that as well.
And got everything prepped for dinner. And then I had time to take a little break before you were done with D&D.
That's very luxurious rhubarb simple syrup too. Because I'm not even sure you should call it simple syrup. Because I think simple syrup would indicate that it just has regular ass white sugar.
Yeah,
whereas
I put
this
a
has
lot of honey.
Honey. Yeah. So it's that's not so simple.
Yeah, that's true.
As far as the syrup goes. It was delicious. We had had
it's
it in
more
cocktails
like rhubarb bee
with
vomit.
Lemon juice before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I tried it without the lemon juice, and I think it's better because I think you can pick up the honey and the rhubarb more without the lemon juice.
But I like the lemon. I think that rhubarb needs citrus. I think they go hand in hand.
I feel like rhubarb is citrus.
It is kind of, but it also, I don't know. These are just culinary rules, okay?
Well, they're culinary preferences. I'd
sure,
say.
Fine.
Or loose guidelines,
sure.
Like pirate rules.
Sure.
But so she had a day, anyway, suffice to say. And what...
One of the things that contributed to
I came up out of the basement and so watch her watching some sort of extreme hoarders show, and
a look of horror plastered on my face. I feel like
your face, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for
and I was like, what the hell is going on? And you were like, this
was literally the worst case of hoarding I've ever seen.
Pooping in a bucket.
Yeah.
And peeing in a bucket for years.
Yeah.
And throwing it out into one part of her yard.
She was pooping in a bucket and peeing in a bucket and then transferring it into a smaller bucket and then throwing it out into the yard.
And at this point, I'm realizing I should put, like, a trigger warning in the description.
And I need to tell
you.
Pee
and poo talk. Just.
I didn't even tell you. Because it was like an extreme cleanup guy who came in. One of the things he found outside was a backup poop and pee, outside poop and pee bucket in case she doesn't want to go into the house or like can't make it into the house in time or something like that.
Oh boy.
But the justification for the poop and pee bucket was that the septic system was supposed to be like drained or cleaned every like 4 years. Her mother had died 12 years ago, and before her mother died she stopped cleaning the septic system and she stopped the trash collection service for some reason, and so her mother to deal with this had just been pooping and peeing in the toilet and then putting it into plastic bottles, and this woman still had all the plastic bottles of her mother's poop and pee all around the house.
We might have to cut all that out because I'm about to yak.
It was so gross.
Mental illness is tough, you guys.
It is.
Alright, I'm gonna put
it's real. No, it's so true. That was really, really severe. It was really difficult to watch.
And there was, it was. So, you've had some trauma tonight. And
so, of course, all I can think about with the brackish pee water is that.
Well, I say, okay, there's that. I agree. And yeah, no one wants to drink brackish water out of the catch points of your stillsuit. Obviously, no. This is not pleasant.
Right.
How and ever, mm-hmm. I feel like brackish is probably about where Gatorade's at in terms of electrolytes. You know, it's probably something you want, you know, a little bit.
Yeah, but it's not what you want in terms of taste.
No, I don't think so. No, no, no.
Well, and Paul
well,
does...
Well, add a little bit of lemon flavor, just like with the simple syrup. And then you've got Gatorade again, so...
Maybe. Well, Paul does make the good point that the best place to store water is in your body. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
coaches in football practice used to go, come on, boys, it goes in, you're not on you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they would say, because you'd be like... pouring it over your head because you're so hot.
Right.
But then they'd be like, nah, put it in your body. It goes in you, not on you.
Yeah, Texas football.
Yeah, that's why they had special icy baths of water with this weird cologne they put in there.
Ew.
As well. And then that one was just for towels that you would put over your head. Ugh. Because it was like with the ice water and the cologne and... it was like colder than regular water, so that was better, and it like evaporated
was
faster.
It like menthol,
some kind of crazy, I don't know, it,
like
I,
Bengay,
like it was cologne in this weird ass bottle, like they don't, like they literally, they straight up don't sell this stuff like at the supermarket. They sell it at like Sports Town or wherever coaches shop for their fucking
coaches
RS and shit.
USA
all that weird, like you buy whistles, it's on the same aisle as whistles and, you know, like headbands.
You can buy whistles at the L.L. Bean store.
Yeah, but those are like fancy good whistles that you can...
It's a Fox 40.
You can whistle out.
I was a lifeguard, so I know my whistles.
Oh, Fox 40?
Yeah. That's good whistle.
That one's got two little peas inside, not just one, for a double...
And it also has those nice little indentations on the side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does it have the two little... circle hoops at the bottom so that you can like put it over your finger so that it's like to wear like two rings and so that you can always have it right there?
You could attach that if you wanted. I mean, that's an add-on.
Okay, so that's like if when I'm in the aisle I'm like, oh, Fox 40s, those are good. I'm like, oh, look, the attachment.
No,
oh, it's half the cost of I could buy two Fox 40s for the cost of getting one Fox 40 and one two-finger whistle attachment.
By the way,
but it's worth it.
I got totally suckered into buying something this morning. I haven't told you about it yet.
Oh boy, what is this?
Well, this was like an Instagram targeted ad
that
must know how much trouble we have with ice trays.
Oh boy. Are they the metal ice trays that you like go like that, they have the lever that you hook?
Because that wouldn't solve our problem with ice trays. So okay, here's the thing, is that I got... when I moved into this house, I wanted to replace the... what?
I feel like this... I'm getting a vision of you, like, in black and white on the infomercials, being the person that, like...
it's like,
just
ooh,
can't,
I just can't.
It's like, how do I get all of the spaghetti water out of the spaghetti pot? It's impossible. I pour it out, it just goes all in the sink. Ah!
Yeah, basically.
That's you right now.
So... no. Okay, when I bought this house, it had all old appliances in it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get a new refrigerator, freezer, and everybody was like, you, my dad, you were all like, oh, yeah, get one with, like, an ice maker. That'll be so easy to hook up. And then you come in and you're like, well, there's actually, like, no water pipe near this refrigerator to hook the ice maker up to.
I remember this, yeah.
So now, basically, I have a refrigerator freezer with an ice maker that is not operational.
Is that what happened? Is that what it does? Oh.
So now we use ice trays in a freezer that's not really well suited to ice trays.
Because it's supposed to have its own ice maker.
Right, exactly. Mm. And it's like a drawer, so it is, you know, like... really hard to like balance them and get them in there and not spill the water all over the place, and then like push the drawer closed without spilling any of the water. It's a very precarious situation.
Maybe we should get an estimate on how much it would cost to get the thing put in for the ice maker.
Well, I mean,
a spigot or whatever.
If it costs more than $20 and this thing I bought this morning is a better solution.
I forgot we're leading up to some thing you bought off Instagram.
As seen on TV.
Yeah.
Literally as seen on TV. Uh-huh. It's like this, you know, cylindrical container.
Okay.
And it has these, like, you know, molecular kind of compartments on the side. Uh-huh. And then, like, a Tupperware kind of insert And so you, like, put the insert in and then fill the sides up. And the idea is you're supposed to be able to, like, crack the ice on the sides. And then you, like, you know, take it out and you pour the ice into the container in the middle. So you store the ice in the container in the middle.
Make new ice.
But you freeze it on the outside. Exactly.
Okay, so you can have ice in the middle and then it's freezing new ice on the outside.
But I was like, okay, clearly this is a thing that is not going to be so precarious when I am trying to, like, fill it and close the freezer. I guess
so. Can you lay it on its side?
You wouldn't want to.
Okay.
Is
it going to fit in there?
Yeah, I think it will. All
right.
But anyway, so I'm like, oh, this just seems like a great solution. All the reviews on the website explicitly dedicated to this product are great.
Oh, dear.
And then so I'm like, sign me up. Send me one of these as seen on TV ice maker things.
Okay, have you checked your bank account recently? Has it been cleaned out yet?
No. But then I did, like, I was like, that was probably such a stupid purchase. So then I start, like, looking up, you know, actual consumer reviews. And basically everything I find is like, this thing's a piece of shit.
Oh, boy.
It's not nearly as, like, easy as they make it out to be.
Why would the testimonials on the website devoted to the product lie?
Right?
Oh, boy. Because I told you about the thing with the projector where I saw the projector on Instagram and I was like, ooh, Caitlin would like that. And I looked, and then I, like, did more research and I was like, oh, this is not a special new product. This is a old product. They're selling for more than they were selling it for in 2015.
Well, okay, in my defense, if this thing feels at all more helpful to us than ice trays, I did look at, like...
Because you know what it sounds like.
What?
Sounds like it's an ice tray.
It's a differently configured ice tray that I think is going to be... It has a lid on it, so it's not going to... You know, whatever.
Okay. Why does it need a lid?
So that the water doesn't spill out, which is part of my anxiety with the ice trays.
Worst case scenario. All the water in the ice tray spills out. What then?
Well, then I feel really bad because our roommate stores a bunch of stuff in the freezer and maybe it all gets frozen together.
Oh.
You know?
Okay.
Whatever. Anyway, I can't even remember what we're arguing about now.
We're not. We're not arguing about anything. We're just trying to tell people about why you have...
Oh, I know.
Why you have pee and poop buckets on the brain, I think.
No, that had nothing to do with ice trays.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but all I'm saying is I looked up comparable products on Amazon, and they were not that much less expensive.
Okay.
And it was $20, so, you know,
yeah.
You win $20, you lose $20.
That's right, it's just like Vegas.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Except in this one, you got an ice tray. You don't get that in Vegas.
You never get an ice tray in
Vegas. Yeah, hear that, Rob, fairies. You don't get that in Vegas where you live.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he still listens, but.
Yeah, it'd be nice if he did.
Yeah, right? Get a celebrity.
Yeah, we could have him do a call in.
Yeah, T2, call us.
He could call us, yeah, as Tayface.
Yeah.
Inside.
Rob, joke. Call us as Tayface. Oh, boy. So.
So Paul and Jessica are wandering through the desert, and they are just basically trying... They have to wander, like, really far across the desert. So they're just doing a lot of wandering. But,
They're not wandering across the desert. They're specifically staying off the desert. They're trying to get to rocks.
They're very intentionally making their way through the desert.
Their passage became a matter of the immediate and the particular. The sand pockets between rocks where their steps were slowed, the wind-carved ridge that cut their hands, the obstruction that forced a choice, go over or go around. The terrain enforced its own rhythms. They spoke only when necessary and with the hoarse voices of their exertion.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, anyway, they're doing this. They're like, okay, they take a break, and then they're
What's
going
on with the old ornithopter over there?
Oh, well, they left the ornithopter over there because they knew the sandworms would be attracted to the ornithopter. Mm-hmm. So it actually directs the sandworms away from them, the humans.
Mm-hmm.
Are they humans?
Yeah, they're humans.
Okay. So, right, there's a whole thing about them being humans.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
They had the box test.
So then they're like, all right, let's go down into this, like, crevasse, it sounds like, kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
to sleep.
Yeah.
And Paul, like, tests it out. And he's like, I think we can just, like, slide down it on our butts like little babies at the playground. And he's like, okay, here I go. Whee!
Whee!
He slides down to the bottom of the thing. And then he's like, Mommy! And then he's like, Mommy! Oh, my God! Mommy! Where'd you go? Mommy! Oh!
Uh-huh.
Because Jessica didn't make it down the sand slide. She fell in and got buried.
She got buried by the sand, yeah.
By sand.
And he, like, saw where she goes in or something.
No, he didn't. I don't think. Mm-hmm. Because he's, like, panicking, like, trying to dig her out of the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And in his panic, he accidentally buries the pack
mm-hmm.
with all the important things in it. But he does recover Jessica. And she knew to just, like, lie
well,
there.
Well, when she started going in.
She just lies there. If that's what you're thinking.
I am now.
Yeah.
No, she gets buried underneath the sand, and he's like, well, she's not smart. She's Bene Gesserit. She's going to know to, like, go into a prana bindu kind of yoga trance and, you know, slower breathing and everything. So she's not going to die immediately, but I can start digging.
Mm-hmm.
And he's digging, and finds, like, her hand, and then he, like, digs her out a little bit. And then she's out, but...
But the pack is buried.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, oh my God, what are we going to do? And Jessica's basically like, you got this. You can figure this out.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I'm such a big dumb dummy.
Yeah.
I let my emotions take me over. Mm-hmm. You know,
and
classic
fragile
masculine.
He's also having a little trouble because I think, you know, he's in an oracular valley right now. He can't see... He's got this new sense, right? His prescience and seeing the paths forward, but he can't see him right now. It's all with the storm and like you said, what visions he's had of this future are wrong because Duncan Idaho's dead, you know? And so he's a little my reading is he's discombobulated. He's
questioning himself.
He's noticing the danger of over-reliance on his new sense of prescience, you know? And yeah, he's backtracking a little bit. I think it's two steps forward, one step back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a very interesting thing. And of course, Jessica is seeing all that
She's seeing it in my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and at some point, I think before this, and you might have even bookmarked it, or maybe it's after, she's like, realizes that one of the ways she's reacting to her son is with fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I did actually appreciate that passage that you bookmarked.
Oh, yeah.
Actually mostly for, let me see.
Yeah, bookmarked this whole paragraph I thought was interesting.
She said, and she thought, how stiffly formal I speak to my own son. Then, because it was the Bene Gesserit way to seek within for the answer to such an oddity, she searched and found the source of her formality. I'm afraid of my son. I fear his strangeness. I fear what he may see ahead of us, what he may tell me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the thing I mostly appreciated about that is, like...
Seeking within yourself for the answer to an oddity. Yeah, totally. I was like, oh, this is like therapy right here.
Right, exactly.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Exactly. Like, you're just like, why is this happening?
Yeah, why I feel this way? And then you're just like, well, dummy, it's inside of you. This is why you feel that way.
Right, exactly.
And don't call yourself a dummy. Use positive self-talk.
Yeah, exactly. So... Paul comes up with this idea because the one thing he still has is the compass.
His compass, yeah.
Which is acid battery operated.
And he's been fiddling with that compass this whole time. And it wasn't in the pack because he, like, probably had it clipped to his belt or something, like a dork.
And there was something... What was the other... There was basically some way that he could use the... Oh, the spice. The spice is alkaline,
when
right?
they had to pull out their nose filters to clean him out, he was like... Woo, that's cinnamon. There's spice close.
Yep. Remember, we have a roommate sleeping in the other room.
Right, sorry.
Yeah.
And he goes and he dashes to the thing, but he dashes what? How do you dash across the open desert?
Like a gazelle. No, I don't know.
Gazelle be fucked.
What? Like what? Like a sandworm?
You have to... You like have a... to walk, basically, without any sort of patterns or rhythms.
Oh.
Because...
But that's partly so that the sandworms don't... Oh, you mean that's why? Because the they don't want the sandworms... The sandworms can't investigate every noise. So...
Yeah, right. That's what I like that part. It's like, the sandworms can't come and investigate every little thing. Yeah. They ain't got time for that shit.
They ain't got time for that.
Sandworms are busy. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. So
they got shit to do.
So he's like, if we're not, you know, making like a regular plodding sound, mm-hmm. they won't like note it. They won't mark it.
And I've told you that there's a Dune Fatboy Slim connection. That's your Easter egg.
Mm. What's up?
And it's in particular the song Weapon of Choice. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember? There's like only some music. There's only some talkings in that song.
Mm-mm.
If you don't remember it, I'm not going to tell you, but I'll invite you to go check out Weapon of Choice. It's a good song.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
And you might be...
How does that one go? You can go with this, or you can go with that.
Yeah, right. Christopher Walken's like dancing around in that hotel lobby.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, so...
Young people don't know Christopher Walken.
Right. So... Paul figures out that they can find the pack buried in the sand slope by basically combining the battery acid with...
Well, they're not going to find it. That's how they're going to... Because it's a big slide. He's like, if we disturb this sand at all, it's going to come tumbling down again because we just had it. We just like...
Yeah, you
but
know...
But we can keep the sand where it is if we...
Yeah. It's funny because I was reading this and I was like, this is like some very nerdy, like, physics, science, engineering.
Imagine you're
stuff.
Trying to translate this into Arabic.
Oh my God. Yeah. And I was like, honestly, I'm not even going to bother trying to understand what's going on here exactly. All I knew was he came up with a chemical reaction that would help them find the pack.
Yeah. Battery acid plus spice plus a little bit of brackish water from your catch pockets.
And it makes a foam. Yeah.
And the foam has enough surface tension.
Cool. It was like blown in insulation. Yeah.
She's foaming all over the place.
Yeah.
Or as you would say,
no, not like that. Do machine gun noise. No, like you can do a better one, I thought.
I can, but it hurts my cheek because I have to bite my cheek. Like that?
Little boys learn how to do the dumbest things.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
I heard a podcast one time where like the two guys were doing a bunch of like those noises, and the one woman on the thing was like, "And now can you hear this is the sound of my vagina drying up?"
Yeah, totally.
Anyway,
so they find the pack. It manifests itself. Or no, Jessica has to, like, dig for it. In spite of the fact that they're, like, disturbing the sand, Jessica still has to, like, dig for it.
Yes. No, you have to, the idea is, like, the face of the sand above them, he's spraying foam on that to, like, get it just enough wet, just enough surface tension so that it won't fucking avalanche down on them. And then they're digging underneath that, adding more foam, digging underneath, adding more foam. Because they're just trying to keep this sand from sliding down more.
Got it.
That's how I read it, at least.
Okay.
I don't claim to be in, you know, to have the straight dope. I'm just reading it.
So she finds a strap.
Yes.
And he's like, don't pull it out.
Yeah.
So she just holds onto the strap, and then he's like, I'm gonna hold on to your other arm.
Yeah, and he's like, and then he's like, he's gonna work his hand. It sounded to me like he's gonna work his hand down to the strap, like along her hand, you know.
God, that's so erotic. I didn't know Frank Herbert
into
incest.
I was thinking it got that way, yeah. I mean, what,
all I'm saying is
with your own mom, you can't, like, have you never, like, taught your mom a backstroke with a tennis racket or something?
Considered sliding my hands across my mom's breasts the way you just did to me.
Okay,
I'll say that much.
Good point. Maybe I was being a little more erotic than Paul would be with Jessica. But I'm also, in my defense, we're both you know, we're both lying on the bed, so it's like, if I'm going to try and do that,
yeah,
I have to reach over your boobs anyways.
Oh, yeah. I've had that. I've gotten that line so many times. Listen, the position we're in, I just had to brush my hand across
Look,
your boobs.
I guess you're right. I mean, if I'm being honest, from my time as a single man, it was one of my moves whenever, you know, a girl I was interested in was half buried in sand. I would, you know... I would be like, I'm going to work my hand down along your hand to get that strap. And she'd be like, oh, okay.
And then that song from Ghost would play.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Unchained Melody by, I can't remember his name.
Yeah. Anyway.
I want to say Luther Vandross, but I don't think that's right.
They get the pack.
Mm-hmm.
They pitch a tent.
Mm-hmm.
Paul pitches a tent. Oh, yeah. Paul pitches a tent.
You're really into this, like, incest joking tonight.
Well, I don't know. It's so trendy right now, you know? I'm just trying to, like, keep up with the
times.
That's
just because it's a cheap way to make fetish porn.
All right, whatever.
All you have to do is be like...
You just have to title it?
Yeah.
Like, the...
You get to... Like, you pay the actors the same amount, but it gets to be a fetish thing because you just go, I'm your stepmom.
I don't think
And then all of a sudden it's fetish porn, and then you just do the regular stuff.
There doesn't have to be any dialogue. It can just be the title of the video.
Yeah, that's true, because people are probably watching it with no sound on a lot anyways.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Like I said, it's cheap. You know, you don't have to buy chains or extra utensils. It's just regular.
Yeah, that's my fetish. My fetish is going to
the... Get the girl, get the guy, and have him say, but you're my stepmom!
My fetish is going to the cafeteria and being like, can you give me extra utensils? I don't think that one fork and knife is going to be enough.
No, definitely not.
Okay.
You like that all out of mustard porn?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wait, what is that? Never
That's mind. Another cheap fetish, because they can be like, there's no mustard left. I guess we're going to have to do it with no mustard then.
I'm so confused. I don't think
because
I'm...
Because the fetish is the lack of something that you wouldn't normally have in the first place.
Rabbit hole that you've gotten down.
Maybe I've gone down. Maybe I've gone too far.
Okay.
Just saying, like, lack of something that's not normally there porn is also another cheap way to do fetish porn.
You should do a podcast just all about cheap ways to do fetish porn.
Well, it's a theater of the mind, ultimately.
Oh,
it's cheap
totally.
Fetish porn. You know?
No, porn in general is a theater of the mind.
Mm-hmm. It's like, ooh, we're both animals, but we shapeshifted into people and had sex.
That works.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just need somebody to, like, feed you, like, a quarter of the story.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, feed
you
me a quarter.
You can make up the rest of yourself.
We just ate a bunch of quarters off camera. Listen to it jingling in our belly. Oh, you can't? That's okay. You wouldn't be able to hear it anyways. But we just ate
we
a bunch
you
of
have
quarters.
Roommates home. Okay, so I think basically they just, like, go to sleep, but before they go to sleep, a worm like crosses through the crevasse.
Yeah.
And it kind of just, like, shifts the sand, but it just, all it does is, like, it doesn't even sound
well,
like...
Well, it eats the ornithopter, right?
Oh, I didn't notice that. But it sounds like they don't even really see the worm. It sounded like they kind of note how long the worm is, but only from the displacement of sand. That
yeah,
they
that's, you know, I think it's like, you know, it's kind of like, you know how big Jaws is by the fin and by the wake.
Yeah.
But with this, you don't got the fin, but you still see there's, like, it's moving a mountain of sand in front of it and behind it, you know.
And he's basically like, it was bigger than some kind of
than
space.
Than a gilled frigate, yeah, which are damn big, as we know. They're gargantuan.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Remember how... No, I'm not going to mention what the thing that Duke Leto said, like, 20 chapters ago about how big a guild highliner
is. Who is Duke Leto? I'm kidding! Oh my god, you guys should have seen the look he just gave me! Oh my god, it was so worth it!
You know how to get my goat. Guys, so... Another, because I told you about it, another interaction I had with someone on Twitter was basically someone who just said, dude, I know the title of the podcast is My Girlfriend Begrudgingly Reads Dune, but sometimes that begrudgingness gets real frustrating.
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, do not expect her to start giving a shit about these books. Please don't. Guys, same here. If you're just starting now for whatever reason, this is not going to be... There's not a character arc where
there's not a
Caitlin character. Starts to love Dune.
If anything, there's a character decline.
Yeah.
I might be the villain. I guess I'm the villain of this
you
podcast.
You are the villain. You're the villain. All these Dune people are coming for Dune insights, which I have.
Yeah.
And thwarted. My insights are thwarted by your disinterest. Basically.
But we have such good combos about other things that people I'm sure are dying to hear about.
There's one part where they have to, like, you know, go down a cliff, and Jessica's like, if only we had suspensors. We could just tie a bunch of suspensors and just hop down. Like,
this is a real up society where people just want to be floating around on big, you know, bouquets of balloons all the time.
Some of them do, yeah, for sure.
I understand that.
Would you do that? Would you, like, at what point do you say to yourself, I've let myself go too much, I'm getting some suspensors.
Do I have that option right now?
Yeah.
All
right. You're already there?
Yeah, I'm already there.
One for each boobie.
Oh, man. And then I would never have to wear a bra! Oh, that sounds so good. If they're more comfortable than the most comfortable, least sexy bras I already wear, I am in.
I think I probably have a ways to go before I finally gave in for the suspensors.
Yeah.
Although I wouldn't jump off a cliff because I don't want to do that anyways, you know.
That would be scary.
That would be scary.
Yeah.
But I'd do something else. You know, like I'd jump off a berm.
Would you rather?
Okay.
Jump off a cliff wearing suspensors,
mm-hmm.
or
go to prom wearing suspenders.
Saddle up and ride a sandworm.
I think I'd rather ride a sandworm.
Whoa! You might get like a face full of sand.
You might. Yeah.
But it would get you high, right? Because it has the spice.
Yeah, if we were going through the spice sand, you'd get high off of that. Yeah. So.
I think it'd be fun to. I think there should just be like a sandworm adventure park.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be into that.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
It reminds me of like Sesame World, Legoland, Disney World. You know.
Which one? I think there was all three of those things exist.
I don't know.
Okay. I mean, I know you're a little old for Legoland, but...
Well, I do remember going to Sesame World with my aunt and uncle.
And where is that?
I think it's in New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
And maybe my mom and dad when I was real little. And that was super fun. I liked it a lot. Disney World, you know, they're redoing Splash Mountain, so it's not based on Song of the South, which is apparently incredibly racist.
Mm-hmm. Which I've never seen. I've tried to see it. You can't find...
Have you seen Splash Mountain?
I've seen Splash Mountain, yeah.
Mountain.
The part, I think they've taken out the most racist parts of Splash Mountain already, or
well,
wasn't...
now they're taking out all of it.
Yeah, because they want to erase Song of the South from existence, basically.
But I don't know what they're replacing it with.
They're probably replacing it with the end of Dumbo.
Oh, the end of Dumbo?
Yeah, with the crows.
I don't remember.
It was another very racist Disney thing.
I don't know if y'all watched live action Dumbo, but it really hit home just how disappointed they thought people would be to see this flying elephant, or the elephant with the big ears.
It didn't make any goddamn sense. This elephant, this baby elephant has gigantic ears. Who would want to see that?
Send it back.
Bring us a regular elephant.
Bring us a proper elephant.
People don't go to the circus to see unusual
oddities.
Things.
Yeah. Right.
And they're like, shouldn't call it Jumbo. Should call it Dumbo.
I wasn't motivated to continue watching.
No, me neither. We watched about 50 minutes of it. Mm-hmm. I like Colin Farrell more than most people.
Uh-huh.
And he could not overcome...
What is that on a scale
the fact
of
that
one Col-
that why are we watching... This movie's about Dumbo. It's not about Colin Farrell and his kids.
I know. Who cares about Colin Farrell and his kids?
It's a movie about elephants.
Who cares about Danny DeVito, even?
Yeah, no, I don't care about Danny DeVito. Like, the only time you're ever supposed to see Danny DeVito's character is, like, silhouetted against a tent screen right. before, you know, when the clowns are all taking their baths before they all get drunk and then Dumbo gets drunk.
Do you remember Dumbo so well?
I watched tons of Dumbo when I was a kid. It was one of the videos I had.
Yeah, it wasn't in my heavy rotation.
Yeah, it was in my heavy rotation. Dumbo, Jungle Book, Cinderella. Those were like the three that I had on VHS.
You know, we did just watch with like avarice was Hamilton.
Yeah, it was very good. And I tweeted about it.
Yeah, and oh, okay. Well, it was interesting.
That doesn't mean anything.
I didn't know if you tweeted. Did you tweet to the people who listen? Whatever. Mm.
I guess I tweeted to some people who might listen, but I'm not everybody that listens to the thing is
following you on Twitter.
Yeah, and not everybody, and vice versa.
For sure. So the interesting thing to me about us watching Hamilton is you and I are both, like, so distractible. Like, mm-hmm. when we're watching TV, we're fucking around on our phones. Yeah,
that wasn't the case, like, when we were watching
Hamilton. No, we were just, like, glued, fixated, like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, I felt like nothing could, like, come between me and Hamilton.
Mm-hmm. And you were already a big Hamill fan.
Yeah.
And I had heard the some of the music, and I was like, well, like, okay, but I can't, like, get it, but like with the performance, of course.
Oh my god, totally. Well, I just read an article this morning that basically said the same thing, where it was like, yeah, you can listen to the soundtrack, but it really just does not come alive until you actually see it perform. Mm-hmm. Which of course is true. Yeah. Of course is true. It's meant to be a visual medium. Yeah. Right. But yeah, and actually the thing that this article pointed out that I actually hadn't like given a lot of consideration to is the fact that the story is narrated by the villain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like that, this podcast in that way.
Are you the damn fool who shot me?
I am the damn fool who shot
no.
you. How does a bastard
okay orphan. All right. We can't pay for that.
Oh yeah, right, we don't have that kind of money. I mean, I'm dropping $20 on ice cube makers. I can't, I'm not responsible with money.
It's true. You're a real Zoidberg. So they get the pack out.
Wait, what? There's more? I thought it was over.
No. What? No, they get the pack out.
I already went over it. And they go to sleep and there's a worm.
Well, tell me what, I mean, I think the important, a big part like that I was that we set up at the beginning was Jessica has a little bit.
Oh yeah, she gained some more ground. Sure, she regained some ground. Mm-hmm. Maybe where like she's like, oh, you know what? I can tell you shook, boy, mm-hmm. you shook. And she's like, I'm gonna resume teaching you how to not get so shook.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Mom, kind of like eye roll about it.
Yeah,
but she's like, nope, you gotta sit down and take your medicine.
Yeah, today you panicked. You know your mind and Bindu nervature perhaps better than I do, but you've much yet to learn about your body's prana musculature. Your body prana. Does things. Okay. I'm from Texas. We say prana.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. The body does things of itself sometimes, Paul, and I can teach you about this. You must learn to control every muscle, every fiber. Now it is getting sexy again. You're right. Every fiber of your body. You need review of the hands. We'll start with the finger muscles, palm tendons, and tip sensitivity.
Oh my god. I mean, she there's turned away. Come definitely
on. Into the tent now.
Oh my god, there's definitely some Paul Jessica incest fanfic somewhere in the world. That has to exist. I mean, they're basically setting it right up for you. He is. Yeah. I don't know why I always like imagine that like a crew of people wrote this book.
He flexed the fingers of his left hand as he watched her crawl through the sphincter valve.
Oh yeah.
Whatever has been done to me, I've been a party to it, he thought. Review of the hand.
Review of the hand.
He looked at his hand, how inadequate it appeared when measured against such creatures as that worm who just passed. Big worms.
Review of the hand.
Review of the hand. Maybe he was saying it. Review of the hand.
Oh. I like
Frank Herbert should have written hand. Yeah. So you like what?
That's gonna be my like Bene Gesserit voice to you.
Mm.
when I want to control you, I'm going to be like, review of the hand!
Yeah!
Yeah.
So, I was thinking this chapter made me think about what you hear about people who have, like, genius kids.
Mm.
You know, who
that couple.
They go to college when they're 12 years old or something.
Or whatever.
Yeah, that still is confusing to me. I don't.
It's because it's not solved. It's an unsolved mystery.
She's talking about on the podcast Scam Goddess where they were talking about some.
I don't think she was really Romanian.
It was
where was she from?
Somebody adopted. Maybe. This couple adopted like what they thought was a 6-year-old, but she might have been like 26, but still nobody knows.
Or maybe they just neglected a 6-year-old in an apartment by herself for a year.
Yeah, I don't. It's like, I don't. I think a 6-year-old. If you actually left an actual 6-year-old in an apartment for a year, they would just die.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
or people.
It's all very confusing.
Yeah, it's not. I can't get into it.
It hasn't been adjudicated.
We can't get into it. Read Scam. Go to scamgoddess.com on.
It's very confusing there
on
too.
That podcast.
Just look up the like real life orphan, real life movie The Orphan.
Google real life movie The Orphan. Scam Goddess.
.podcast.com.
Yeah, you just do it. Google it your own damn self. It's confusing. I don't get it. But what I mean is, I remember when I was in college reading an article in our college newspaper about like some, you know, 11 and 12 and 13 year olds that were going to college.
Mm-hmm.
At our college.
Oh, God.
And how they were, you know.
That
they,
sounds terrible for them.
Well, yeah, they were going to college, but they still have to come, they go home to their parents and stuff because they're still kids, but they can take college courses, but it's not like, that does, you know, it's, Doogie Howser was way more high functioning than mm-hmm. an actual 13-year-old would be in that situation.
God, yeah.
You know, and Doogie lived at home. He lived with his parents, as I recall.
I don't know. I never watched it.
Well, it was a little before your time.
Yeah.
But Paul has all these talents and things. You know, he's been trained as a mentat. He's got prescient vision. He's got all this and that. But he's still 15. Right. And
he's
still,
just a presumptuous little shit, isn't he?
I think he's just getting... He's still very capable of getting in over his head. You
totally.
Know, which I think this is a good example of.
Speaking of Unsolved Mysteries, we did binge watch all of the season of Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix.
Yes, we did.
And there was that one where, like, this guy got murdered after his friends left him at a party in
mm-hmm.
bumfuck Kansas or whatever.
Yeah.
And the mom was like, I don't understand how they could have left him at this party. And you and I were just like, because like 18 to 21 year olds are fucking
they're stupid. Yeah,
idiots.
They're the dumbest
100% of the time, including you and me at that age.
Yeah,
including
me, very
everybody.
Much. And yeah, sorry 18 to 21 year old listeners, but be aware that you are really dumb. And so were
you
we.
You think you're not.
You think you're not. You're at exactly the, it's the exact age where you think you know everything and
mm-hmm.
you know very little and you can make really dumb decisions.
And listen, it's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
It's
you'll get through it.
It's part
we
of
still
up.
Love you.
Yeah.
You're loved.
Yeah, look, it's not all over for Paul here just because he's
no.
Cause he's being a dummy.
Right.
With the help of his mom, he
yeah.
can get out of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So take heart, 18 to 21 year olds, or in this case, 15 to whatever year olds.
Yeah, you know what? Everybody just figures their own shit out in their own time. We're
yeah.
still figuring our shit
and
out.
And no man is an island. We all rely on each other.
The
and
kindness
women.
Of strangers.
Yeah, we all rely on the kindness of strangers sometimes, but for the most part, we all rely on our support systems. Yeah.
Yeah.
So cultivate those support systems.
Totally.
Who is your Jessica? Who is your Duncan Idaho?
Oh, yeah. Who's your Gurney?
Who's
Hallwalk?
Your Gurney? Who's always there with just the right... scripture quote.
Tune.
Also, that would be so annoying to actually know a guy who was always quoting
oh
scripture
God.
Like that. I wouldn't be like, ha ha ha, Gurney, thanks for that Bible quote. We needed that. Woof. There's one thing we all love and take heart from. It's someone who quotes the Bible all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you love
You're
that?
Right. That would suck. I don't know. Is the modern day equivalent just like the person who always has the right quote from The Office?
Yeah.
And then you're just like, oh God.
Yeah, call me when it's the right quote from Futurama.
or the right quote from Arrested Development.
Oh shit, we hit me.
We're oh my god,
it's us.
We're the
But wait a minute, we're the Gurney Halleck of our time. Turns out,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Oh, the other interesting thing was one of like Paul felt a new opening of his awareness, not from the drugs. Do you remember this part?
No.
But from what? The litany against fear. He's like starting to, turning out that these rituals, these words they speak.
Platitudes.
Well, platitudes, but also, you know, chants, mantras.
Yeah, mantras, I guess.
He's starting to find that they have power. They kind of have power in their own to awaken some of his senses.
I just kind of feel like they would be the things that you'd see on like a meme of like a sunset on Facebook.
Oh, a successory?
What?
Those are called successories.
What does that mean?
It's those posters that they put on the walls in offices that's like black background with the square.
A portmanteau of success and accessory?
Yeah.
I get it.
Have you never seen those? You never heard of that?
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. All right,
cool.
But I've never heard that word.
Oh. Well, it's the word for those.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. What I always like are the ones where it's the joke ones, but you can't tell until mm-hmm. you actually read it.
Yeah.
And it's like idiocy or something.
Mm-hmm.
So those are fun. Yeah, everybody go buy more accessories. No, don't.
You know what I would like? Do they ever combine those with magic eyes? Because I think it'd just be really fun to have like a magic eye poster in mm-hmm. my office with also a motivational quote on it.
Mm-hmm. Which is like, dolphins have bills, but they still sing.
Right.
And then you look at it and it's a turkey.
Oh, I love that. That sounds great. We should invent that.
Okay.
Do you know how to make magic eyes?
Yeah.
Oh, you do? Perfect.
It's a computer program.
Oh. Well, I guess that's not so magic now, is it?
No. It was always computers.
Everything is lies.
Yeah. Lies and computers.
Are we done here?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
All right, everybody, bye. Okay, talk to you later.
Love you, bye.
Bye.